afternoon to those of you here on the world of Facebook. It is time once again for us to have our ever so popular and cleverly named Sunday night series where we are live at 5. My name is Justin Reed. I am the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Pardon me, because I am sharing this video. And in fact, if you wanted to help me out, you could also share this video, because especially during times like this, it probably doesn't hurt the world to study a thing or two about attendance. I'm going to share this. Also, if you want to turn to Psalm 122 and the first verse, that's where we will be beginning our lesson here in just a half a second, because it is officially 5 o'clock here. So, live at 5, and let's title it Attendance. That way people know what we're doing. All right, we have the video. We are live. You can hear the video, which is also ever so important. Let us begin our lesson here this evening talking about attendance. Psalm 122, verse 1, it is a song of degrees of David. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Friends, whenever you speak on attendance, there's always a good chance that one of three things is happening right this very minute. There is a high likelihood. I don't have any hard, concrete numbers in front of me. This is just a preacher making an educated guess, a Christian as well making an educated guess. One of three categories you will find yourselves in here tonight. Number one, those who need to hear a sermon on attendance aren't present to hear a sermon on attendance. It just seems like, and usually I'll preach attendance Sunday morning to try to catch the most people, because point number one seems to always ever so popularly ring true. Number two, those who need to hear a sermon on attendance get mad because the preacher is preaching on attendance, when they would rather the preacher preach on love, mercy, the story of Jesus Christ, the story of Lazarus. I mean, there is a multitude of stories they would probably much rather hear the preacher preach on than that of attendance. Or, number three, those who don't need to hear the message feel bad for not doing more. Inevitably, it seems like most people fall in one of those three categories. Either you're not here, which means you're not hearing this, or you need to hear it, but you're going to get mad at what I have to say. This is not Justin Reed trying to harp your lifestyle at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. This is Justin Reed speaking things in truth and in love, concerned about your spiritual well-being, or you don't need to hear this, but it's going to make you feel like you need to do more. Brethren, what I want us to do in this lesson is I want us to look at what are the benefits of attending worship services and classes. Once again, I know what you're going to say. Brother Justin, we are watching this live on Facebook. We are not physically in the building on Sunday nights yet. You are right. I'll give you that when you're watching it live. But I tell you what, it's the attitude behind your worship. And also, would you be with us in the building if we were there tonight? Or if I was teaching this in a Wednesday night class, would you be there for that? Friends, let us talk about attendance. And from my notes, let me just make sure I have the right set. I've got three reasons, three benefits, if you will, of attending worship services and classes. Number one, it is a commandment from Almighty God on high. Go with me to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. You can't go to the 25th chapter. It doesn't exist. But if you go to the 10th chapter of Hebrews and start with me there in the 25th verse, you'll see this from the Hebrew writer. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Now, I love Hebrews. I love the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I like the 25th verse. But really, for us to completely understand this, we need to step back. We need to back it up and look at it in context. Join with me, Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Brethren, the Hebrew writer is saying, let us provoke one another to love, let us provoke one another to good works, let us do things a Christian should do, and one of those things a Christian should do is should be looking forward to the time when he or she can assemble before God in a period of worship. Brethren, if we have the opportunity, we need to be there. Well, let's look now in Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at what's called apostolic authority, that being authority there of the apostles. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Jesus is speaking, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever therefore thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we see Jesus Christ is giving authority, and literally what he's saying is, whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, whatever you will loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So we see that not only is it a command of God, but we see that whatever the apostles told, because they were inspired of God, that is something that we should do. So what did they do? Well, in Acts chapter 2, and verse 42 there, at the end of the great Acts, at the second chapter of Acts, it says, they continued steadfastly, watch this, in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. They continued in what they were doing. One of those things was the doctrine, the prayers, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread. They continued worshiping. They didn't just worship once on the day of Pentecost and say, well, we're good for a lifetime. No, brethren, they worshiped a lot. Let's see some more apostolic authority there in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, please, because we see that Paul, he has come in to Troas. Paul is preaching there. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, watch this, when the disciples came together to break bread. It means they're partaking the Lord's Supper. When do you partake of the Lord's Supper? Upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 11. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech till midnight. Now, there's biblical authority for me to preach to you unto midnight. I'm not going to. I don't have 7 hours worth of notes. But we see that they assembled when? Upon the first day of the week. And they assembled. We also see, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and verses 1 and 2, we see that they gave weekly. They gave weekly, and since they were already there, it made sense for Paul to give them this instruction in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Here he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered, there be no gatherings when I come. Because they were going to send some money, just like he had told those in Galatia, they're going to send some money, and so they needed to contribute to that weekly when they came to worship. And that's a convenient time to give. Why? Because they're already there. Brethren, it is the same as not gambling, not cursing, not partaking the Lord's Supper weekly, not fornicating, not stealing, the same command of God that you need to worship me, you must assemble upon the first day of the week, is the same thing as God saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. But you see somebody who commits adultery and you say, well, brother, you shouldn't have done that. You need to be restored. How often do you go to somebody who hadn't been to church in a while and say, brother, you are neglecting the services of worship? Sometimes we view that as just a little different, but it's not really that different in God's mind. Brethren, let me ask you a serious and sobering question. Why do we think that we can make a command of God something into that which is optional? Who gave you the right? Who gave me the right to say, God, I know you want me to worship. I know you want me to attend worship, but I think I know better than you. We don't have that right, brethren. We're not God. If we were God, we could say we don't have to worship, but we're not God, so we have to. We cannot change God's commands. That's number one. What is a benefit of attending worship, Bible classes, etc.? It is a command of God. And really, we could conclude the sermon there, because if God has commanded it, that makes it so. But there are some things that we get out of it. And so that's our second point, brethren, in that it is edifying to ourselves. It is edifying to ourselves. In John 4 and verse 24, Jesus Christ says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we see that we must, in spirit, right mindset, in truth, according to what he has commanded for us in his word. God is a spirit, so we must worship him in the correct manner. When Paul tells those in Corinth, he says, pray with understanding, sing with understanding. Pray with the spirit, sing with understanding. Or pray, excuse me, sing with the spirit. Brethren, we need to realize that we need to do things in a certain way so that God is pleased. But when we do that, when we attend worship, we get something out of it. I'm getting something out of this study that we're doing right now. I hope that you are as well. I was very edified, this morning, seeing so many smiling faces as we met in the building. I've got three passages there. Let's quickly look at them, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Here Moses is speaking, and Moses says, pardon me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, that thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and also when you rise up. When you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, when you are doing worship right, brethren, you're going to get something out of it. Now, when we go to worship, it is an offering that we give God Almighty. But, brethren, if you do it right, you get something in return as well. But you shouldn't go into it with the mindset of, oh, well, what can I get? How is this going to benefit me? But instead, what can I do to please and worship God? Go with me there to Matthew 22. Verses 37 through 40, if you don't mind. He has had a lawyer tempt him. He said, Master, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he says, first, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's Ten Commandments, number 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he said there in verse 9, love thy neighbor as thyself. That really encompasses Ten Commandments, number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. But he's quoting from Deuteronomy 4, or Deuteronomy 6. We must put all of our heart, soul, our strength, and our mind into it. Once again, we flip through the Bible, run a reference in Luke chapter 12. Verses 30 and 31. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. You want to seek after things of the world, or do you want to seek after God? Because if you seek after God, all of these things, he says plain and clearly, they shall be added unto you. Quickly run with me one more reference on this section in Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Brethren, when we go to worship, we edify other people. But if I'm talking to somebody else, then you could be the one that's being edified by somebody else being there. But brethren, we also build ourselves up. But how can you be edified? How can you worship God in worship if you're not there? You can't. There's no such thing as proxy. You can't mail in your worship. Like an absentee ballot. You can't pay someone and say, here's $1,000, you go be me for the next hour. I want to get to the lake early. I want to get to the golf course early. I want to get to the restaurant early to beat the people that go to church. You worship for me, brethren. We cannot, should not want to do that. So we see why attend worship. Number one, a command of God. Number two, edifying to ourselves. Number three, brethren, it's uplifting to others. Now, I could give you a list of people, and I could start with worship this morning at the Wood Church of Christ. And how many people it uplifted me to see them there. Family, friends, those who are in ill health. I'm not going to, because we would probably still be going by tomorrow. And I don't think you want to watch this video this long, if we're being just quite honest here. But I do want to share with you a story of a man that I met one time in Rich Creek, West Virginia. And you may have heard me tell this story. I tell it not a lot, but I tell it when I feel the time is necessary for it. We would go do mission work. I went 15 times in 3.5 years to Virginia, West Virginia. In the spring and in the fall, we would do a 3-day gospel meeting. They dropped me. I was 13 when we started, so I didn't drive, obviously. Dropped me off somewhere Friday night. Dropped me off somewhere else Saturday morning or Saturday night. Dropped me off somewhere else Sunday morning. I'd preach the same sermon because these congregations were 30, 35 miles apart. So by Sunday morning, I had the notes almost memorized. During the summer, we would do a vacation Bible school at one congregation from Wednesday through Saturday. Get up and preach that Sunday morning. Drive that 8-10 hours home. And we call it a successful time. So I got to knowing the people. We had a lot of the congregations, really. Got to knowing them. Got to seeing them a couple times a year. One time in Rich Creek, there was a man, or there was a cot, I should say, on the side of the auditorium because the aisles were wide. It was already built as a handicap accessible building. And there was a cot there. And as I was joking with the members up there, I said, oh, is this for when you get tired of hearing to the preacher's sermons, you can just slide out of your pew and lay down on the cot and take a nap? Of course, they knew I was just jesting. And they said, no. There's a gentleman who comes to worship with us now that has back cancer. And he can't sit up in the pew because it hurts his back and it causes pain to radiate through his body. But if he lays down, he can worship. Well, I'd been hoping all vacation Bible school he would show up. And he came Sunday morning for worship. Met him. Getting a little teary-eyed thinking about it. I apologize. I met him. Had his Bible. Had his songbook. And he worshiped God. Now that uplifted me, because I thought, well, there went every excuse I had for not worshiping. There went every excuse of, oh, I don't feel well. Oh, I can't go to church because this man probably shouldn't have been there health-wise. But he was there. Brethren, when we go to worship, it's uplifting to others. Now, he wasn't going with the goal to uplift Justin Reed and teach him a lesson. But he did. A couple of passages, we're just going to paraphrase some of them. We were just in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Jump down to verse 31. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. He loves us so much. He did all this for us. Why shouldn't we want to reciprocate that? Why shouldn't we want to turn around and worship Him? That passage there in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father there, which is in heaven. We don't do it, say, look at me, I'm a Christian, but instead, look at God, by His grace and mercy and love, thankfully I can be a Christian. Let's run that reference there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. Romans 14 and verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. He is my God. Jump down. It's supposed to be verse 19. I thought 9 didn't seem right. Therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith we may edify one another. We may uplift one another. Romans 15:2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Brethren, when we attend worship, it builds other people up. Now, the simple question is, how can you build people up if you're not there? Plain and simply, you can't. So as we think about wrapping up this sermon on attendance, I want us to quickly run one more reference as a way of illustration, way of closing it. In 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 12 through 17, I really just want us to focus on about verse number 17. 16, 17. Howbeit for this cause, Paul says, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17, Paul recounts his conversion as he writes it to his son in the faith, that is Timothy. And he is so thankful that God saw fit to award, to give him the opportunity to become a Christian. Now, God didn't just snap his fingers and save Paul. No. Paul had to do it on his own. But God made the opportunities there. He knew what to do. I want to ask you some hypothetical questions. In fact, there are four of them. When you think about the life that Paul lived, do you think Paul ever asked these questions? Do I really have to go on Sunday night? You know, I already went Sunday morning and I sat there and they saw my presence. Do I really have to go back Sunday night? Do you think Paul ever said, look, I get it, but don't you think Wednesday night Bible study is just a little too much? An extra hour of my time? Why would I spend more of my time in worship? Do you think he said that? Do you think Paul said this? Why should I go to all sessions of a gospel meeting? Or why should I go to every night of a vacation Bible school? Or why should I even go to a vacation Bible school or gospel meeting to start with? Do you think Paul ever said that? Or what about this one? Do you think Paul ever said, well, I've just worked all day. I've been out here making tents and, preaching the gospel and traveling all over the world. I've worked all day long and I'm just a little too tired to go. Maybe I'll just go next week. Do you think Paul ever said that? I'm going to tell you now, I don't. Answer's no. No. Why? Because Paul saw every opportunity he had to worship as a reason to be thankful and to worship and praise his Creator. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm just a reason not harping on you. Because there are certain legitimate things that can keep us from worship. You are ill, especially right now in this world. Maybe you don't have the virus, but you just have some kind of sickness and your immune system is weaker. There's a good chance you probably shouldn't be around other people. That would include worship. Or maybe your spouse is very ill and you have to be the one to take care of him or her, depending on how your gender, male or female. Or a kid that can't fend for themselves. Maybe you've just got to work. The boss has told you, if you don't work this shift, you're fired. Well, I might think about a new job. But regardless, there are some legitimate things. Your car breaks down as you pull out of the driveway, and you don't know anybody around you, and you don't have a backup car, and you have no family. Okay, there are legitimate reasons that might keep you from worship. That's not what I'm talking about. If you are sick, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the problem is when we make a conscious decision and we see our clocks and we go, oh, well, you know, I'm going to leave to make it to Sunday night worship in the next 15 minutes. I think I'm going to start a 3-hour movie or a 3-hour documentary I've seen before instead of going. Or, well, you know, if I go home and shower and eat supper, I can turn around and just pull in time to make it to Wednesday night services. So instead, I'm going to go out to eat tonight. That's when you start making the conscious decision, say, I'm not going to assemble. That's our problem. One final thing, and this may be said a little tongue-in-cheek, and I've said this before, and I will keep saying it, and I've had some people not like that I've said it. Lastly, if you think out of every ounce, every fiber of your being, that going to worship is miserable here on this earth, because you don't like the pew, you don't like the building, you don't like the songs you sing, you don't like the preacher, you don't like whatever. Brethren, if you think worship here is miserable, you're going to hate heaven. Brother Justin, that's harsh. Not really. What are we going to do in heaven? Many different depictions of heaven in the Bible. We are appearing before God in a continuous, because there is no time, for an eternity. And what are we doing? We're doing the same thing that the angels are doing there in Isaiah chapter 6. We're chanting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We're singing His praises. We are worshiping Him for an eternity. Brethren, if you hate worship here on this earth, you might not want to go to heaven, because that's all heaven's going to be. Now, I love worshiping here on this earth, and so that makes me long to get there. One of the many reasons, the fact that I'll be with my Lord and Savior who died for me, that's paramount on the list as well. Why should we attend? It's a command of God. Uplifts ourselves, edifies others. I hope this lesson has been an encouragement to you, because especially during this time, we have so many opportunities to worship both in person. There are so many video series going on through the week that we can be a part of. Gospel meetings are starting back. I spoke in one last week. People stayed in their cars. Ones are going on this week, and summer series are picking back up. Brethren, we live in a wonderful part of the world where it's almost you have to not plan on worshiping sometimes. There's so many opportunities that present themselves. And I'll say this, as I said at the beginning, this is not Justin Reed being rude, being mean. It's Justin Reed speaking something to somebody he cares about, because we're friends, because you're seeing this somehow, that he loves. He cares for their soul. And he wants us to make sure we all are doing the best that we can. If you want a copy of these notes, if you want to share them with somebody, or you know somebody that will need them, they're all on the website. The link's above me in the video. Also, you can go to justinreedshow.com/Bible resources. Or you can just simply Google Justin Reed Bible. Click on Bible resources, go down to the sermon section. Sermons are alphabetically listed, so look for A's, look for attendance. You can also have this PowerPoint as well. Quickly, two other opportunities to study together this week that we have scheduled. Wednesday night, 6:30, we'll continue our midweek Bible study, as we always do. And we will be talking about a lesson in humility, that being the story of the Good Samaritan. Also Thursday night at 6:30, my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, we will continue our study in the book of Matthew. And we're going to talk about who can get married, who can get divorced, and who can get remarried. So I hope you can join us for Wednesday night and Thursday night as well. Thank you so much for joining us. I pray that this lesson has been beneficial to you. Please share this video, because you just never know who might be struggling with an issue such as this, and you can help them in their time of need. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for watching.